down. Jesus celebrates woman. And so we want to pray for you. Know that God is for this morning. Is that cool? Actually, I'd like Monique to pray. Monique, you're on the spot.
Lord, just bless them. Fill them with your spirit, Lord. Bless those who are trying, Lord. We just thank you, Lord, for all these mothers, for all the care they give to all the kids, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen, Father. And we do. We want to lift up every single beautiful woman in this place. We want to ask you, Father God, and just everybody stretch out your hand to the nearest lady next to you. Lord, we want to ask for your guidance, your protection, your covering, your angels around about them. We want to pray, Father God, that you would lighten their loads and their burdens. We thank you for the strength that is within women. We thank you for the power that is within them. We thank you, oh God, that you are within them and that you would cause every lady here to succeed, to know the discerning work of your spirit, to know what is right and what is not right. We pray, Father God, just for just a restoration of your godliness through these women to every single person that they know. And Lord, we just thank you for them. Let their touch, let their words, let their efforts, let the things that they do, let the gifts that they put together, let all the service and everything that these ladies do be of such a nature that we would be absolutely lost without them and without what they do. We thank you, Father God, for every woman here. Bless them, Holy Spirit, anoint them. And may they be fruitful in every way, in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. Amen, amen. Everybody, how are you? Happy Mother's Day. We have started a series called Truth Versus Fiction, and it's really about the parables of Jesus. Jesus, when Jesus taught, he taught in parables. He told stories. You know, if you were speaking about the Good Samaritan, there wasn't actually a Good Samaritan. It's a story that Jesus tells. And he makes up these stories, or by the Spirit of God, he tells these stories in such a way that it stirs thinking, and it gets us to lean towards Jesus to find out what is it that he's actually saying. And then he starts to teach us heavenly truths, which change our lives. So the parables are fictitious stories that Jesus tells, but they've got heavenly truth within them, powerful truth within them. And so we want to look at the things that Jesus has taught. The Great Commission says this: go and teach everyone. In other words, be like a mother, every single one of you. I mean, how many of you have been taught by your moms how to do things? Right? Be like a mother and go and teach. Go and tell everything that Jesus has commanded. That's the Great Commission. For you to be a disciple of Jesus, for you to sing the songs, I will follow Jesus, or whatever. No, we didn't sing that one today. We sang the others. I've decided to follow Jesus and to walk with Jesus. If you're walking with Jesus and you're following Jesus, that makes you a disciple. But the work that a disciple does, you're not really a disciple until you're doing that thing that a disciple does. A disciple, by definition, is teaching others about Jesus. Amen. That's going to be a big question to you this morning. How much of what you've learned from Jesus have you taught anyone else on this planet? There's a deep, deep, deep question. In what way are you involved in teaching others about what Jesus has taught you? If you learn one thing about Jesus, you have a responsibility already to go tell somebody about him or teach somebody about that one point that you've learned. And so I want to encourage us to be the disciples that Jesus has made us to be. This is not a place where you're going to hear a nice little preach that tickles your ears and you're going to feel good and walk out on Mother's Day. This is going to be, hey, actually, these are the end times, folk. I don't know if any of you have noticed that there's some crazy things going on in our world. And Jesus said this: before the end comes, there's going to be a harvest of many, many, many souls that are running to Jesus. And because of the disasters and the troubles and all these things that are happening in the world, people are going to run to Jesus. But where is Jesus? They can't find Jesus in Jerusalem. They can't find Jesus on the earth somewhere sitting in a cafe or whatever, having a coffee. They're going to find Jesus in you and I. And you know, the limiting factor of this gospel is this: if we don't tell people, they'll never hear and they'll never believe and they'll never be saved. That's the limiting factor. So either be those kind of disciples who've got beautiful feet and bring them to places where Jesus has preached, or just do what a disciple does. Take what Jesus has taught you and go tell people. Isn't that great? I don't know if you noticed, but There's not a whole lot of unbelievers here today. Look around, and you'll battle to find an unbeliever. Okay, how does an unbeliever look anyway? like an angry face. No, besides, I got an angry face, and I'm a believer. But I mean, around us is believers, right? So it's not like they're flocking to church on Sundays. But Jesus has put his teaching within us so that we can go out to where they are. Because they all, like sheep, have gone astray. But we found a shepherd who says, walk this way. And so when we go out, we tell people about Jesus, teach people about Jesus. I want to challenge us this morning. I want to challenge you to the core. If you're not teaching someone about something about Jesus, then ask yourself whether you really are a disciple. It's nice to be saved and have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life and have a ticket to heaven and thank you very much and it's in the back pocket. But it's got to stir within you something that there could be more people just like you who could be just where you will be one day if you just say something. If you just tell someone, yes, as Denver said this morning, preach the gospel and if necessary use words. Dan, I have to correct your theology. Dan. I want to say, preach the gospel wherever you go. If necessary, use words. But in fact, use the words that God's given you. Is that good? So preach the gospel everywhere by preaching the gospel. Tell somebody about Jesus. Is that cool? So when we go through these parables, we're learning about the teachings of Jesus. We're going to find out about what he says about salvation, how we come to salvation, what it means when we save, what do we do while we save. There's the stories of the persistent widow and the good stewards and all these things. While we believers, there's certain things that we practice and we do and we bear fruit with. And then it goes all the way on to the end time. So all the parables and all the teachings of Jesus talk about everything from the start of your spiritual life to the end of your spiritual life in heaven at that heavenly banquet, at that wedding with him as the husband of the bride, his church. And all of the parables speak about something along that way. So Jesus spoke and taught in parables. And it comes almost as a judgment in a sense. Because there's very many people that follow Jesus for all kinds of reasons. But do you follow Jesus for Jesus? And not for what you can get out of Jesus? Hello? It's a scary question to ask because when the storm comes, you realize who or what you've been trusting in. And I hope it's Jesus. And when the storm disappears, are you still talking about Jesus? And when everything's fine, is it still Jesus? And so Jesus tells things in parables in a way that they kind of, the meaning is kind of clouded. So you'll see he tells the parable today and he just stops there. So the crowds must have thought, what does that mean? That's not very clear, is it? And so the point is that Jesus wants those who are going to be his followers to lean into him for meaning and for truth and for life and for everything. And that in itself is a kind of parable that your whole life is going to go through many, many things. I guarantee you, or your life is going to go through some crazy stuff. Hello? And the parable, with the parables, we've got to lean into Jesus to find meaning, but same in our lives. When things happen in our lives that we don't make sense, we don't understand, lean into Jesus and find out what is happening and he'll give you the truth. He'll give you that wisdom. So, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 13. We're going to read the parable of the sower. Are you all good? Excited? Ready? Lord, I want to ask you for your spirit once again to come. Thank you for your presence here this morning, Lord. You're not just here because we sing about it. You're really here. And because you're here, Lord, I know that as this word is preached, hearts will be changed. I thank you for your word, Lord. I thank you that it goes forth like seed and produces much fruit today in your wonderful name, Jesus. Amen. This has been called the parable about the parables. So it's the parable of all parables. It's the parable that tells us how the other parables work in a sense. And so even the parables are like seeds that God sows into our lives. So here's the parable of the sower. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea, and great crowds gathered around him. So he got into a boat and sat down. And the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, A sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured them. And other seeds fell on rocky ground, where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, since there was no depth of soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched. And since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears had better listen. He who has ears, let him hear. Van Gogh. The purpose of the parables. Then the disciples came to him and said, why do you speak to them in parables? And he asked them, imagine that. You just heard that Jesus just tells a story. And that's it. What now? So the disciples also, I mean, they've got the right to access Jesus closely. And they go to him and say, why do you speak to them in parables? And he answered them, to you it has been given to know the secrets of the kingdom of heaven. Who wants to know the secrets of God? But to them it has not been given. For to one who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. This is why I speak to them in parables. Because seeing, they don't see. And hearing, they don't hear. Nor do they understand. Indeed, in their case, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. That says, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but never perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull. And with their ears they can barely hear, and their eyes they are closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn, and I will heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For truly I say to you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Then he goes on. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, listen carefully for the word of the kingdom. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what has been sown in the heart. This is what was sown along the path. For what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, and yet has no root in himself, but endures for a while, and then tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately he falls away. As for what was sown among the thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it proves unfruitful. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understands it. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case 100-fold, in another 60, and in another 30. Amen. Beautiful. So that's a parable of the sower. If we break it down a little bit, it's worthy of interest. There's a sower and he goes out to sow seed. There's the seed that is sown, which is good for us to understand. Some seed falls on a path, and the birds come and devour it. Some seed falls on rocky ground, and it's shallow. It's just a kind of got a veneer of following God and listening to the word and all those kind of things. But there's no depth. There's no root. There's nothing of substance among it. So that withers away. The sun comes up, which is like persecution, all these things. Then some seed fell among the thorns and grew up. But together with it, it's amazing. It's like they were planted and grow with the weeds. Funny how the weeds are growing while you're growing. And they choke the life out and it withers away. And then others fall on good soil. So that there's like these four soils. Three of them don't result in much, in nothing, in fact. And one of them results in a whole lot. That's right. Yeah. So we want to be in that fourth category. If we want to be, if we listen to this parable. I can guarantee you now that none of his disciples even got what was being said here. They didn't get it. They didn't understand it. And some things had to happen. Now, I've heard a couple of interpretations of this, and I'm happy with these kind of interpretations, but I feel like God has shown me something in this week which is amazing, and I'm not trying to say I've got special revelation from God compared to all the other interpretations that are out there. But let me just show you, and I trust that the Lord will speak to our hearts today quite amazingly. One of the first interpretations is that our heart is the soil, right? We've heard this. Some of you have heard this before. Our hearts are the soil. So we have to be careful that the enemy doesn't snatch away what God is sowing in our lives. The word of the kingdom, we understand this. We need to take the responsibility and not let, if God's going to speak to us, listen to the word. It's like putting Lego together. When you need a piece to do, you know, that fits in a place, you've got to take the piece and take the other piece and you put them together. And so when God is speaking his word, when the parables are coming, whatever it is, the word of the kingdom that Jesus is communicating, his teachings, his ways, his life, you've got to take what it is and you've got to take your life and you've got to fit them together. You've got to make it work. You've got to find the piece that fits in a sense, shape yours until it fits Jesus. Put the stuff together. It's a bit of effort. There's a bit of responsibility on your part. Don't allow the enemy to just snatch away what God is wanting to speak into your life. You can hear a word on blessing, on marriage, on parenting, on finances, and straight away you can hear that other voice say, oh, that's nonsense. Or straight away you can hear that voice say, no, we don't do it like that. I tell you, if you would surrender yourself and allow that word to deepen within your heart and seek for understanding and work it out until it's in your life, until it fits snugly within you, you'll start to see fruit bearing. 100-fold, 30-fold, 60-fold, whatever it is. I'm telling you, God is speaking all the time, folk. Every time you read your Bible, every time you come to church, some of you have been listening to Sunday preachers for many years. Let's work it out. If you've been listening to Sunday preachers for 10 years, it's 52 weeks in a year if you've been a very good person, and you've gone to church for 50 of those weeks, for 10 years, that's 500 teachings on Jesus that you've heard in 10 years. And I want to ask you this. Have you fit all 500 together in your life that they're bearing fruit? Hello? So the extent and the responsibility, the extent to which you bear fruit in it is how much you take that word and make it a part of your life and apply it and work it out and fight it out and get in a boxing ring with that word and let it beat you to pieces and fall down, knocked out, stand up again and say, you win. And then obey the word and let the word do what it needs to do in your life. Can you imagine how many words have been sown in your heart, in my heart, and have been snatched away by the enemy over the years? Oh, man, I want to hear something from God. I want to take it to heart. I want to write it down. I want to bring my notebook and pen to church. I want to get those things. I want to make a note. I want to pray into it on Monday, pray into it on Tuesday, work it out on Wednesday. When I get it wrong on Thursday, repent about it and get it right on Friday and see it bear fruit. Hello? That's what it means to be a disciple. We're going back to school, folks. Get your iPad, get your note pens, get whatever, make notes. I can see you, well, some of you are reaching for pens and papers now. Bring a book to church. This is teaching time. This is learning time. This is me being responsible with the word. I make notes. It doesn't matter who's preaching, I make notes. And I tell you, I've got a lot of notes. That doesn't mean anything if it's just notes. We want to let it sink into our hearts and deepen within our hearts. Oh, the enemy can easily come and snatch that thing away. You have the responsibility, we have the responsibility to go deeper and allow our foundations and our roots to be good. Because it's easy for our hearts to be swayed by comfort. Hello? Every heart in this place wants its own way. I promise you, your heart wants its own way. My heart wants its own way. And the minute something doesn't look like it's going to go my way, I don't want to be there anymore, right? I've been in Bukavu, and the hot water's not there. And my heart wants hot water. And then I start to say, God, why am I here? And why am I preaching the gospel in the Congo? And why is it, this is not nice, Lord? And then a cockroach will run across your foot. And you pick up the soap, and there's a cockroach under the soap. And you put your foot in that water, and the water's brown, and it's freezing cold. Hello? I don't want to be there anymore, right? This heart wants comfort. And I tell you, persecution doesn't come sometimes through the geezer being off or the load shedding or whatever. But you tell your neighbor you're a follower of Jesus and you see what looks they give you. And you can back off if you want to. And never ever mention Jesus again in that situation so that you are comfortable. You go, I wanted to go and kind of make sure that I spent a bit more time among unbelievers. Because when I say that people who don't follow Jesus, okay? People who are not followers of Jesus. I'm always around followers of Jesus. If I'm around Chris, I know Chris is a follower of Jesus. I'm always around followers of Jesus. So, I mean, only time I'm not around followers of Jesus is if I've got to go, like, shopping or what. So I thought, I'm going to go play cricket. I'm going to go for Randburg Club and I'm going to play cricket there. And I didn't drink with the guys when they drank. And so really, it was like this, that guy, why don't you drink? No, it's just, I'm all right. You don't want to let out. So what do? I'm a pastor. Okay, now we understand. And it's like from that day on, they didn't want to talk to me. And in fact, they chose me for the second team. The next week, I was in the fourth team. And if I was standing umpiring in a match, the Holy Spirit tells you when the guy's out. And you have to umpire for your own team, if you know that, if you play second team cricket. You umpire for your own team. And the guy's plumb. So I'm like, he's out. And the whole team. I'm like supposed to lie. So that our team can bat. So, I mean, it's the minute you're going to face persecution if you follow Jesus. But you can back away from that thing. I guarantee you. I've done it many times in my life. Many times, I'm just not going to mention Jesus yet. I'm not going to bring it across. There's a person who's sick and I know that God can heal. I just don't pray for them. It's uncomfortable. I don't want to lay my hands on a blind man's eyes in the middle of a shopping center. It's uncomfortable. It's awkward. It's not nice. And folk, that's where we've got to ask God, Lord, deepen the seed within me. When the sun comes out, let me run away. But let me carry on. And there's a responsibility within our hearts to do that. There's the cares and the deceitfulness of wealth and the things that these hearts fall in love with. The cares of the world, folk. The cares of the world. Just scroll through the Facebook profile. Go through the news feed of what's on your Facebook profile and you will see the cares of the world. Is that right? All the things that people are worried about. All the end time, all this, what's happening in South Africa. Oh, load shedding again. Oh, can't they get it right? Blah, 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 blah. All the complaining, all the money, all the cares of the world. And the deceitfulness of wealth and the running after money. And the fear of losing what you've got. And being so scared that someone's going to come in the night with a gun to take away your things. Cares of the world. Sure, folk, we've got to watch out for that thing. We've got to be careful because it'll choke the life out of you. It'll choke away your witness. It'll choke away that wonderful place of absolute trust in God. That God is my protector. That God is my provider. That God gives me everything I need. That God looks after me. That God knows what He's doing in my life, in my marriage. That God can do anything. That God can restore anything. I don't have to put all kinds of contracts and things and papers and this and that in around because it's the cares of the world and it chokes the life out. I've seen people wither in front of me. When they've come week after week and they say, I need a job, please pray for a job. I need money, please pray for money. I need this, I need that. And you pray for those things and they get those things and you never see them again. And then the pawpaw hits the fan. And they've got nothing to stand on. Fuck. Don't let the cares of the world choke the life of God out. And then there's those who are positioning themselves to hear the word. So you're taking responsibility, you're applying, you're testing, all those things that I've shared. There's another interpretation which I think is also pretty good. So now we're not putting ourselves in a position of having a responsible heart, but we're putting ourselves in a position to be a responsible sower of the word. So you can put yourself in that place of the sower. And the Bible is just clear, sow the word. And that sower scatters the word. So everywhere, you're just doing something amazing for the kingdom. You're loving someone. You're telling someone about Jesus. You're sowing the word. And you know what? We can read it like this. 1 in 4 probably going to get it, right? The seed's going to scatter. It's going to fall somewhere. But maybe a quarter of them is going to bear fruit. So be responsible. Maybe prepare the soil by preaching the grace of Jesus and the love of His cross and the forgiveness and all that. And that seems to soften the soil a little bit. And you bring over a meal when people are hungry, that softens the soil. people are cold, you bring a blanket that softens the soil. And then you can bring the seed of God's word. As often as you do it, you could see amazing harvest. And so there's a responsibility on us to sow the word. Again, a question. What are you doing to make sure the teaching that Jesus has given you is being multiplied through your life? Are you skillfully sowing His word? Send it out. Husband to wife. How often, husband, are you telling your wife about what Jesus has told you? Wife, how often are you telling your husband about what Jesus has taught you? It's a beautiful place to be when you're united under God, both seeking and serving Jesus together, and feel that you can freely share with each other the things of Jesus. It's tough when you're in a relationship where Jesus isn't in the other partner. Or maybe Jesus is in that partner and not in you. I don't know. But it's hard. There's a disunity already. If you can start to freely talk about Jesus in your closest relationships, man, that's a beautiful thing. That's when the kingdom starts to extend. I want to encourage you. Son to father. How many of you sons in this place are telling your dads about what Jesus has taught you? How many dads? How many of you are telling your sons and teaching your sons the lessons that they need to learn because they're going to walk in those places? If you don't teach them the things, the mistakes and the successes, it would help them walk on the path that's ahead of them. Mother's Day. Mothers. And some of you sons and daughters, go and ask your mothers, what has Jesus done in your life? And you'll hear some amazing stories. Jesus interprets this. Now, I want to get a bit more clear. Jesus starts off by calling the seed the word of the kingdom. It's not just the word. It's not just the Bible. It's not just all the Bible. It's the word of the kingdom. Folk, we need to understand the word of the kingdom. What is the word of the kingdom? It's the message or the teaching or the doctrine of the kingdom. The kingdom is where the king rules and reigns. So there's a teaching, there's a message, there's good news, which is the word of the kingdom, that there's a king who wants to rule and reign and bring about his rule and reign, which is good and wonderful in the earth. Amen. When Jesus started to teach, he said, the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom is here. So there's, in other words, there's a king who's coming, and when that king comes, there's some wonderful things that are going to take place. So specifically, the word of the kingdom. Join the dots. Apply it into your own life. If it's the rule and reign of God that comes through King Jesus, then you have to make Jesus king in order for that message to bear fruit in your life. So the word of the kingdom is really a word about the king. If the king doesn't come without the King Jesus, then it's not a word unless you accept Jesus as king. Now you can start to see the things that happen to the various listeners and hearers that heard the word of the kingdom. Jesus basically came saying, I'm a king of that kingdom. And you need to put that together in your life. The Pharisees rejected it. They were like the path where it fell on the seed that fell on the path, and the birds came and snatched it up. In fact, some of those Pharisees were the birds. Because the minute somebody spoke the kingdom, or Jesus spoke about the kingdom, the Pharisees would be right there to try and snatch up the words, and they themselves were rejecting the word. So that's the road, that's the seed that falls upon the road or upon the path. It's just, I will not accept Jesus as king. That was the Pharisees' problem. They would not accept that Jesus was the Messiah. They would not accept that he's the king. If you can't accept Jesus as king, the word of the kingdom will not settle in your heart. It'll fall on the path and the birds will snatch it away. Is Jesus king in your life? It's a deep question. Is Jesus king of kings? Do you bow before Jesus? Do you tell Jesus what you want him to do for you? Or do you bow before the king and say, King, would you tell me what you want me to do for you? Hello? Either you're king or Jesus is king. If you're king, you tell Jesus what to do. If you're king, you tell Jesus what to bless. If you're king, you say, I'm going to do this, Jesus. Is that okay? Maybe. But if Jesus is king, you come before him and you say, Lord, you've asked me to run my life and look after things, and this is what I've done. But if you want to change any of it, please be king in my life. You know, you read through the scriptures, through the Judges, it says in the days where Israel had no king. And then you read about the havoc that goes on there. People are sacrificing babies to statues and all kinds of stuff. That's what happens when there's no king. Make Jesus king of your life. That's how the word of the kingdom is going to settle in your heart and bear fruit. Reject the king, and you're rejecting the word of the kingdom, and that's when the birds come and snatch. Are we good? Is Jesus king of your relationship? I've seen it as well. Beautiful girls that love Jesus, that have a boyfriend that don't know Jesus. And we say, the Bible says, the king says, do not be unequally yoked. And for a moment they say, okay, we believe that. And they make Jesus everything. And the relationship fizzles out because the other partner is not a king follower. But then that girl's like, oh, I really want that relationship back. But it was so good. It was so nice to be together. We did some things that we shouldn't have done, but we're forgiving each other. All these kind of things. And they get back together. And it's bye-bye king. And that relationship leads them into trouble. Is Jesus king of your finances, folk? If he's king of your finances, you don't have a problem with tithes and offerings. Because if the king looks after you, the king provides for you. The king brings his kingdom into your finances and things change. But if you say, I'm king of my finances, I'm king of my business, I'm king of my properties, I'm king of this, I'm king of that. Ooh, it's dangerous, folk. Wait for the birds to come and snatch away the seeds. But let's make him king, and it'll go into good soil. Are we good? This is a message Jesus spoke. If you want to get closer to Jesus and ask him to teach you what it means, this is what we'll find. Then we get those that were the rocky soil. They were content. Now, we see the Pharisees, but then we see the crowds. And when Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand, John the Baptist asked, are you the king? Is this really the kingdom? And Jesus tells John the Baptist, he says, the deaf are hearing, the blind are seeing, the lame are walking, the dead are being raised, it's the kingdom. And I tell you, people run after the signs and wonders. Today, people are running after signs and wonders. If there's a message or there's an advert or there's someone that there's going to be signs and wonders in town, you will see a crowd at that place. Hello? People run after signs and wonders. There's the sign seekers. That's like the seed that falls on the rocky soil. It's shallow. Because they're running after the bread. They're running after the healing. They're running after the situation being resolved. They're running after all those kind of things. The blessing, whatever it is. But then Jesus starts to get a bit deeper. And he says, listen, all you crowds, if you still want to be my disciples, then come and eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Whoa. We heard what you said. We don't understand it. We're not going to ask. Bye-bye. Okay? Then Jesus says, carry your cross daily and suffer for the kingdom. Whoa. Suffering's from the devil. No. Bye-bye. Then Jesus says, if anybody wants a godly life, they will face persecution. Whoa. Jesus says this, in this world you will have trouble. Well, no. Jesus, please, man. And when people start to persecute, what happened to all those crowds? Where was the 5,000 people when Jesus was hanging on the cross? They were all shouting, crucify him. That's scary. That's rocky. And that's what happens when it's all about what we can get from Jesus. Because as long as we can't get anything, as long as it looks like what's coming our way is not quite comfortable, that's when the crowds run. You know, Jesus, this is Mother's Day. Jesus had one convert and one follower before he died. The man on the cross next to him, who said, I want to be with you. I want to follow you. One convert. That guy went to heaven with Jesus. No one else yet. Because of Jesus, that man, and his mom. And I tell you what, everyone can leave you, but your mom doesn't leave you, so that doesn't count. It doesn't count. Because she was just following because it's her son. But they all deserted Jesus, every single one of them, all the disciples. And so that gets me to the next point. You got the rejected on the path, the Pharisees, the crowds that were just content with themselves, they left. You've got the distracted. So now the disciples are those who grew up with the weeds. Now hear what I'm saying. Because Judas was happy to follow Jesus until it looked like he wasn't going to get any money out of it. So Judas betrayed Jesus for a bag of silver coins. Because what Judas really wanted was for Jesus to be the next president. For Jesus to be the next king. For Jesus to be the next political leader. For Jesus to be the head of the cares of the world. And the deceitfulness of wealth choked his heart. And he fell away. And he was deceived. And he committed suicide before he ever saw Jesus risen. And that's the soil. That's the seed that falls on the rocky soil. Don't think that the other disciples were better, because Peter left Jesus as well. And Peter, you can see what was in Peter's heart when Jesus said this to Peter. Jesus says to Peter, "I am going to die on a cross." Peter said, "No, no, no, no. It must never happen to you. Please, no, you can't do that. We've given up everything to follow you." Thinking a political kingdom was about to be established and they would be the head honchos. So when Jesus says, "I'm going to go down across," Peter says, "No, no, no, no." And Jesus rebukes Peter to his face and he says to him, "Get behind me, Satan, because you have the cares of the world in your heart. Care about the things of God." And where does Peter go? He says, I'll never leave you or forsake you, Jesus. What did Bruce McAlpine say Jesus said? Call down curses from heaven. When they asked him, "Do you know the man?" He says, "I don't know the guy. I've never heard of him." Blah, 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 I said swear words. Let curses come on me. I don't know him at all. Denied him three times and the cock crowed. Cock-a-doodle-doo. Jesus restores him after he's risen. But the point is, folk, the disciples were not the most fruitful in the world, were they? At the end of Jesus' teaching and ministry, none of them bore any fruit whatsoever. But then you've got the productive. And so we've had those who reject, those who are content with themselves, the sign seekers. You've got the disciples before Pentecost who are distracted. And it's even when Jesus, before he ascends, Jesus says this in Acts chapter 1. He says to the disciples, for 40 days, he teaches them about the kingdom. And he's taught for 40 days on the kingdom. Jesus himself, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, risen, is teaching about the kingdom to these disciples, and they still don't get it, because just before Jesus is about to ascend into heaven, the disciples asked him, are you about to restore the kingdom of Israel now? And Jesus says, you don't get it. You're still living with the earthly. He says, but wait, and you will receive power, and the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and then you'll be my witnesses to the ends of the earth. And so Jesus was telling them, that's what that kingdom is all about. That kingdom is a kingdom that is empowered, and that kingdom is bringing my rule and my reign everywhere. So, folk, what happens at Pentecost? The Spirit is poured out. Those who were persecuting's heart change immediately. Those who were rejecting Jesus, their hearts change immediately. Those who were content with their own living, their hearts change immediately. Those who were distracted and following after everything, their hearts change immediately. Because when the Spirit is poured out upon those people, that 120 people at Pentecost, that 120 becomes 3,000. That's 25-fold in one go. And Peter stands up and preaches, and Peter's preach is this: Jesus is King. Jesus is on the throne. David was the king, but David died. And that earthly kingdom is not what it's about, because now Jesus is king and he's alive and he's on the throne. And he says, and you all murdered him. And they all cut to the heart and they said, what must we do? He says, repent and believe. And that kingdom kicks off. And there, after Peter preaches a preach over there about Jesus being king, 3,000 people are added. Is that good soil? What made it good soil? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit being poured out. The disciples were useless soil until the Spirit moved them into that category 4, producing the fruit and producing the seed. Because then another day comes and there's persecution and that church is strengthened and they don't run away and God adds another 5,000 to it. So you've got 8,000 all of a sudden 30, 60, 100 fold what was sown before. When Jesus is king and his spirit is poured out, the kingdom advances and the kingdom moves. So listen to this quickly. The other place in the scripture, two places in the scripture, where this, that passage that Jesus says you'll be ever hearing and not perceiving, your hearts are dull, is in Isaiah chapter 6. Let me read Isaiah chapter 6 to you. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on the throne, king, high and lifted up. So in other words, in the year that King Uzziah died, earthly king, dies, Isaiah sees the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And above him stood the seraphim, each with six wings, and two covered their faces, and two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God, the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook of the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraph flew, that one of these angels flies over, and having in his hand a burning coal, with which he, with tongs from the altar, and he touched my mouth. So he said, "I've got unclean lips." Unclean, you know what the Bible says? If you can keep your lips clean, you can keep your whole body clean. If you can keep your tongue in check, you can keep your whole body in check. You know, you want to control yourself, control your tongue. If you can control your tongue, everything. So Isaiah says, he sees the king, pure, holy, holy, whoa, I'm dirty. And the Lord sends an angel with a coal and touches his lips and atones for his sin and cleanses him from the top of his head down to the soles of his feet, from his lips all the way down. And so, "Behold, I've touched your lips," verse 7. "Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And that's what Jesus, the king, does for us. He forgives us of our sin, folk. He washes us. He cleanses us. Then I heard a voice saying, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" God is speaking, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit is talking. Then I said, "Here I am, send me, kingdom." And he said, "Go and say to this people, keep on hearing, but not understand. Keep on seeing, do not perceive. Make the hearts of this people dull and their ears heavy, and blind their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their hearts, and turn and be healed." The only other time this scripture is shared is in in Acts chapter 28, and that's where we'll finish off today. Are you good? Acts chapter 28, verse 17 to 31. So Isaiah sees the king, and he's going to go and share a message, but Jesus says, "You're going to share it, but they're not going to listen." Jesus says, "I'm going to share in parables, but some of you are going to get it and some of you are not." And so he has the only other time the scripture is shared, and that's in Acts chapter 28, from verse 17. And Paul is being persecuted. Let me quickly tell you the story about Paul. Paul hated the church. Paul was one of those birds that picked the seeds that fell on the path. Because if anybody was walking along that said they were a Christian, Paul would drag them off to prison. And so Paul was a persecutor. Paul was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He hated the church. He hated the way. He hated Jesus. And so God, the King Jesus, appears to Paul in one of the days. He's on his road to Damascus. The King appears to Paul. Paul bows down, blind, can't see. Accepts Jesus as King. A disciple comes and lays hands on him, opens his eyes. He's filled with the Spirit. And it says right away, Paul was preaching about Jesus the King. And people say, "Hang on, you were just persecuting us. Stay away from us." He says, "No, really, I'm saved. I'm a believer. I want to tell you about Jesus." And so he was leading people to Jesus right away. And so there's fruit that's taking place in his life. Something changed the soil in Paul in no time. So Paul's preaching about Jesus, gets persecuted. The Jews who were not accepting Jesus as king were persecuting the church. And so now Paul's being persecuted. In fact, Jesus said to Paul, "I will show you how much you have to suffer for my name." Imagine Jesus tells you that. Hello? That's what Jesus told Paul. "I will show you how much you have to suffer for my name." So Paul is persecuted. Paul is caught by the Jews. Paul is sent to prison. Paul is beaten. He's left for dead. Paul is just goes through the most hectic times. He's shipwrecked. He's sick. He's ill. He's all kinds of things that happen to Paul. And he appeals to Caesar on one of his kind of court cases. He says, I've got no problem with Israel. I've got no problem with the Jews. But Jesus is king. And so, let me go through the story. After 3 days, he called together the local leaders. He gets to Rome, calls the local leaders of the Jews. And when they had gathered, he said to them, brothers, though I had done nothing against our people or the customs of our fathers, yet I was delivered as a prisoner from Jerusalem into the hand of the Romans. When they examined me, they wished to set me at liberty because there was no reason for death penalty in my case. But because the Jews objected, I was compelled to appeal to Caesar, though I had no charge to bring against my nation. For this reason, therefore, I have asked to see you. So he's calling for the Jews that are in Rome. For this reason, I've asked to see you and to speak with you, since it is because of the hope of Israel that I'm wearing this chain. And they said to him, we've received no letters from Judea about you, and none of the brothers coming here has reported or spoken any evil about you, but we desire to hear from you what are your views, for with regard to the sect, we know that everywhere it is spoken against. When they appointed it for him, they came to him at his lodging in great numbers. From morning till evening, listen to what he teaches. From morning till evening, he expounded to them, testifying to the kingdom of God and trying to convince them about Jesus from the law of Moses and from the prophets. And some were convinced by what he said, good soil. Others disbelieved, bad soil. And disagreeing among themselves, they departed from Paul. They departed when Paul had made one statement. He said this, the Holy Spirit was right in saying to your fathers through Isaiah the prophet, go to this people and say, you will indeed hear, but never understand. You will indeed see, but not perceive. For this people's heart has grown dull, and their eyes, they can barely hear, and their ears, they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and turn, and I would heal them. Therefore, let it be known to you that this salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen. He lived there 2 whole years at his own expense. No cares of the world and deceitfulness of wealth there. He welcomed all who came to him, proclaiming the kingdom of God and teaching about the King, the Lord Jesus Christ, with all boldness and without hindrance. Amen. Can we pray, please, folk? Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for Paul. We want to thank you, Lord God, that your word was sown in his heart the minute he saw you as king. And this morning we want to see you as King Jesus, like Isaiah, who saw the king. And he realized that he wasn't king of his life. He realized that the things that he'd done were wrong. And he said, Lord, I'm a man of unclean lips, and my gosh, I've seen the king. And the King Jesus atoned for him. And King Jesus forgave and changed Paul's life. And King Jesus, today, in this place, if we recognize that you are who you say you are, that you, Jesus, are King of Kings, that you are Lord, that we believe in our hearts, we put it together in our lives, we accept and understand and perceive and long for more of that which we don't reject today, that you are King. We thank you that you are the one who forgives us of our sin. That you're the God who washes us, who atones for us, who cleanses us, and who gives us a path of life which is beyond what we could imagine. Lord, I pray for us today that we would be a people who trust you at all times. I pray for us in this church that we would be disciples who not only have you as King, but are not running after what you can do for us. Even if I have to endure my sickness for longer than I need to. Because in fact, Jesus can heal you today. You don't need to have it today. But if you've got to endure, don't give up. Lord Jesus, even if it means that the trouble that I've got in my finances, It's not something where I say, God, you should have fixed my finances. I'm not going to follow you anymore. Rather, we say, my God, deepen my roots that nothing will cause me to sway or wither away. Today, Jesus, you are king. You're king over my good and you're king over my bad. You're king over all my life. I pray for us, Jesus, in this place, that we would beware of the three enemies that come our way. Protect us from Satan. Protect us from our own flesh. And protect us from the world. Lord, I pray for every person here. Would not run away when we see the devil. When we see demons. When we see spiritual things that are not right. We would not run away when our flesh desires the lust and the pride and the greed of the world. And we would not run away when trouble and persecution and all kinds of things happen to us to the left and to the right. That in these end times, we need to be disciples that are rooted and grounded and strong. The world is not looking for wimps who follow Jesus. The world is not looking for people who back away at every difficulty. The world is looking for people who will press on through and make it through every storm. Because they want to know if there is a king and if there is a kingdom worth living and dying for. And we want to be those people, Jesus. I pray for us, Lord, that we would bear much fruit. I pray that we would be those who bear 50, 60, 100-fold. But in order for that to happen, we ask you this morning for your Holy Spirit to fill us afresh, O God. Holy Spirit, the disciples were third category, but they moved to that fourth category when you were poured out upon them. We ask you, Holy Spirit, would you come upon us to be your witnesses for this kingdom, like Paul, to Rome and to the Gentiles, to the ends of the earth, and bear 50, 60, 100-fold fruit. When we thank you, Lord, for things like the World Equip. We thank you, Lord, for things like partnership with churches around the world. We thank you, Lord, for the apostolic ministry. We thank you for the work in the Great Lakes, all these things. 50, 60, 100-fold to the ends of the earth for you, Jesus. Make us like Paul, Lord. Make us like those Spirit-filled believers, we pray, Lord. If you have not acknowledged Jesus as King today, if you have not acknowledged Jesus as your Savior and as your Lord, I want to ask you today, while eyes are bowed, if there's anyone in this place who has never put their trust and faith in Jesus, if you're here today and you say, I want Jesus to be my King, would you raise your hand? Is there anyone here? Would you raise your hand if you want to make Jesus your King today? Anyone? Thank you, Lord. Do you want to make Jesus your King? Come here. Please, would you come here? I want to invite you. Come. Come, I saw that hand. Jesus to be your King. I pray that He would do an amazing work in your life. What's your name? Kopano. Father God, for Kopano, Lord, our Holy Spirit, I want to ask you that you would touch him, that you would fill him from the top of his head down to the soles of his feet. I pray, Jesus, that you would be his King. Inkosi Amakosi, King of Kings, Jesus. You would rule Kopano's life. Jesus, that you would extend your kingdom through him. I pray for this young man that his heart would be like good soil. I come against every work of the enemy over his life in the name of Jesus. I rebuke you, Satan, in the name of Jesus over this man's life. Every foul work to try and hurt him, kill him, destroy him, I rebuke it now in Jesus' name. And I thank you, God, for your freedom and your life and your protection and your calling to be established in his heart and life right now. I pray, Lord God, for depth. I pray the seed which has been sown in his heart today, even by him standing here this morning. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you as my witness, precious God, that the seed that was in him would grow so strong. I pray against the cares of the world upon his life. when he would long to seek after money and after help and after all kinds of things, and he would long to seek after the things of this world that the flesh would want him to have, I pray, protect him now. I pray, King of Kings, would you cover him and let your authority be over him. And as he submits to you, Lord God, you would pour grace into his life and cover him, Lord. I pray by your mercy, God, even when he doesn't know what he's doing. I pray, Father, that you would just cover him. I want to ask you, Lord God, for such favor here today. Lord, I want to pray that he would bear fruit to the ends of the earth as your disciple. I pray, fill him with your love and your joy and your peace. And I thank you for him, that you are his daddy, that you are his friend, that you will never be alone, Kopano, because he is with you and he loves you. He forgives you and you are his. He says, you are my boy and I'm pleased with you today and I love you today and I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Be blessed. Be blessed in every way. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Well done, my boy. Well done. I want you to go with these guys, okay? They're going to just share something.
Amen. Isn't that incredible?